Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Another wonderful service.
Yes. Amen.
Did y'all keep the reign of righteousness this morning that you got this morning?
Yes.
Working on making it go deeper?
Yes.
Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Take what we learned and apply it, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you tonight. You see all the hungry faces out there. You know every need. Just meet them. And I thank you, Father God, for your awesomeness. I thank you that you've been here with us each and every day that we've ever met in this building from the first day. I thank you, Father God, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, I truly do thank you that you're sitting in your throne room on high, with the windows of heaven wide open, looking down upon your children this night, smiling, enjoying them, and getting ready to bless them beyond measure. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I ran across this and I thought it was good. The Elijahs of God. To the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We answer, where he has always been, on the throne. But where are the Elijahs of God? Amen. We know Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but alas, we are not men of like prayer as he was. One praying man stands as a majority with God. One praying man stands as a majority with God. Today, God is bypassing men, not because they are too ignorant, but because they are too self-sufficient. We need to understand that our abilities are our handicaps, and our talents are stumbling blocks. We're going to read that again. We need to understand that our abilities are our handicaps and our talents are stumbling blocks. Mr. Ravenhill, Reverend Ravenhill said that we are too self-sufficient. We think we can do all things in ourselves without God. That's what he's saying. Out of obscurity, Elijah came on to the Old Testament stage, a full-grown man. Queen Jezebel, that daughter of hell, had routed the priests of God and replaced them with groves to false deities. Darkness covered the land and gross darkness the people, and they were drinking iniquity like water. Every day the land filled with heathen temples and idolatrous rites saw smoke curling from 1,000 cruel altars. Elijah lived with God. This little statement we just read, isn't that what's going on today? Isn't that what our society is like today? Elijah lived with God. He thought about the nation's sin like God. He grieved over sin like God. He spoke against sin like God. He was all passion in his prayers and passionate in his denunciation of evil in the land. He had no smooth preaching. Passion fired his preaching, and his words were on the hearts of men as molten metal on their flesh. Amen. He says, brethren, if we will do God's work in God's way, at God's time, with God's power, we shall have God's blessing and the devil's curses. Let's read that again. If we will do God's work in God's way, at God's time, with God's power, we shall have God's blessing and the devil's curses. When God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil will open the doors of hell to blast us. God's smile means the devil's frown. Mere preachers may help anybody and hurt nobody. Mere preachers may help anybody and hurt nobody. Mere preachers. If you're going to get out there and be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be on fire. You're going to have to preach against sin. And you're going to have to carry the glory so the glory can fall to change people's lives. God is not going to use any mere preachers anymore. You're going to have to be on fire for him. But prophets will stir everybody and madden somebody. The preachers may go with the crowd. The prophet goes against it. A man feared, fired, and filled with God will be branded unpatriotic because he speaks against his nation's sins. Unkind because his tongue is a two-edged sword. Unbalanced because the weight of preaching opinion is against him. Now, preachers make pulpits famous. Prophets make prisons famous. The preacher will be heralded, the prophet hounded. Now, I think we need to read that statement again. Go back to a man fired, freed, I mean. You got it? A man freed, fired, and filled with God will be branded unpatriotic because he speaks against his nation's sins. Unkind because his tongue is a two-edged sword. Unbalanced because the weight of preaching opinion is against him. Preachers make pulpits famous. Prophets make prisons famous. The preacher will be heralded, the prophet hounded. So much truth in what Reverend Ravenhill is saying. Ah, brother preachers, we love the old saints, missionaries, martyrs, reformers, our Luthers, Bunyans, Wesleys, Asburys, and so on. We will write their biograph. I can't say that right now. Thank you, everybody. Reverence their memories, frame their epitaphs, and build their monuments. We will do anything except imitate them. We cherish the last drop of their blood, but watch carefully the first drop of our own. And he says, where are the Elijahs of God? That's the end of that little thing I read. Where is the God of Elijah? Well, Barbara, where is the Elijahs of God? I want each one of you to think about that tonight. We're screaming on God, where are you at? But yet we're not saying, God, am I on fire for you? The drought is over. All right, this is my sermon. My sermon is about rainmakers, okay? The drought is over. I really want you to think about, we read though about what Reverend Ravenhill said. Are you an Elijah of God? That was the whole gist of that thing. Are you another Elijah? Can God use you to perform miracles through you like he did Elijah? I hate to say this, but we're going to have to do a little bit of changing in order to become an Elijah. Amen. The drought is over. 1 Kings chapter 18. You all should have this memorized by now. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. I think we need to hitch up our chariots and go down before the rain overtakes us. Come on. I think it's time we really get so on fire for God that nothing in the world can stop us. Not your family, not your friends, not a pastor. You know, nobody can stop you because you're so on fire for God. You're just going to go forth and you're going to do the things that God has called you forth to be. And you're not going to have any of this dumb junk in between. It's going to be you and God. God told us we have to walk so close to him that nothing can come between us. I don't think a lot of people believe that statement, but it's true. Verse 45, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Wouldn't that be a powerful anointing? You wouldn't need a vehicle, Brother Brett. You could just hitch all your kids to your back and run. to wherever you had to go. Anoint me, God, I need to. No, that's both better. God, we need to go from here to there, and then you'll be there. Amen. Don't need to stack all the kids in the car. Just, okay, God, this is where we have to be. This is the address. Transport us there. What's wrong with that? You never tried that. Try that. But don't faint when it happens. The mission is not impossible because the drought is over. You need to claim your season. Oh, there's your red stars. Claim your season. It's now or never. It will happen when you push through negativity and doubt. Come on. That's what I want. I want you to claim this is your season. This is your hour. This is the time that God really wants you to be so drowned in His rain that nothing will ever stop you ever again. Come on. This is what this is all about. It's filling you so full that all you do is overflow and everybody you walk by. Don't follow anybody that doesn't hear anything. Don't follow anybody that doesn't hear anything. Stay connected to God and wait to hear the invisible and the intangible. Take your right hand. Take it out. Look at it. Your right hand is a symbol of authority. You think you're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. Come on, you have authority in your right hand. God said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, anointed God, He anointed in His word. When He sent you forth, you were already anointed. And God's always told me, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll do it. Amen. We just have to step out there in faith and do it. You need to push past your flesh, your weaknesses, your insecurities, and your unbelief. You hear that? You need to push past these things. God sent you to those people that God sent you to those people that they're the drought. You are a rainmaker. Yes. You are a rainmaker. God has given you permission to make it rain. The rain needs to fall on your ministry, on your staff, on your members, on your family. The rain needs to fall. You need to go into all the earth and do what God has called you to do. Didn't tell you to sit in a hole and wait for Him to get you out of there. What did He say to the prophet? What are you doing in the cave? And I remember He told us a long time ago, get out of the cave. The prison door is open. Get out of the prison. I think people are still sitting there waiting for Him to come and take them by the hand. He's not going to do that. He spoke it and you heard it. And now you have to move and do what. I'm hearing God say, the enemy's going to render you helpless as long as you remain hopeless. You have to have hope. You have to know that no matter what you're going through, that God is in control. You have to trust Him. And as long as you don't have any hope, then the enemy can keep you helpless. You are not standing under closed heavens. God told me, I'm standing under an open heaven. I stand there, I looked up and I could see heaven. This church is under an open heaven. The heavens are not closed. People come up and tell me all the wonderful things God's going to do. I already know all that. That's why we do what we do. It's because I know what my Father has showed me. I know what my Father has told me personally. And I don't need a backup. I don't need a confirmation. Because I know that I know that I know that my Father has called me and that my Father's been with me all these 30-some years. The first thing He ever told me was, don't despise small beginnings. So I don't care, you know, if I preach to 2 or 100. God is still there. Are you understanding this? I'm not a preacher that if I don't have at least 145, I'm not going to open the door today. No, if God, I preached to one person one time and he got saved. The pastor forgot that he invited me. So anyhow, I showed myself faithful. The pastor, I'm so sorry. You know, I just forgot and didn't remind the people. And I said, that's all right. I got a message. And you, one person sitting here. Can I preach to him? And he got saved that night. And God said, they come here now. They've been here for a long time. He said, yeah, go ahead and preach to him. You know, come on. Maybe that's all God wanted there that night was one person. Maybe he was testing me. Would I be faithful? I'm a rainmaker. So I did what God sent me to do. Preach that one lost soul. Isn't it a shame he was lost in a church and he was the drummer? Come on. Think about it. God needed to get him saved. And God knew how to do it. He might never got saved if everybody showed up. Because I stood right in front of him and I gave him everything I had. You know? And he was on the spotlight. He got everything. But didn't Kenneth Copeland one time preach to one person? Hey, who are you to say, if I don't have 100? Amen? Come on. I want you to think about these things. Because you don't know, whenever you get out there, what you're going to encounter. Did I get all bent out of shape because they forgot about me? No, I did. I really didn't. I wasn't offended. It didn't bother me. Just did what God sent me to do. You need not to be offended. You need just to do what God is sending you to do. And I'm hearing God saying that is preach the word to your next door neighbor in love and in compassion until they receive me. Maybe your next door neighbor needs saved. Amen. And if you yield yourself to God, he will anoint you to say the right word. You don't push anybody into getting saved. No, you don't. When people come in here, if they don't want to come up here, I don't make them come up here. If they don't want a prophetic word, we don't give them a prophetic word. If they don't, but you say what they need. I don't care if they need it. They know they need it. I know they need it. But God, we don't push them into anything. Do you understand that? I know we get zealous. Oh, they need to feel this. No, they don't. No, they don't. I found that out a long time ago, guys. That's why I'm telling you this. God said, are you the Holy Spirit? Are you God? If we can't get to him, why do you think you can? Because it's going to take the Holy Spirit and God to do it. Are you understanding this? See, you need to know that you know that you know that you know who you are. And where your boundaries are. And you have to know you can't go ahead of God. And you cannot force the Holy Spirit to move on anybody. You know, I really believe that sometimes we force the Holy Spirit on people and it destroys them instead of saving them. You know, they don't understand. They're not ready for the fullness of that yet. I learned a lot of things in 32 years. I used to be zealous too, and I learned to shut up and sit down and let people alone. So I'm just telling you so you don't fall into these pitfalls. It's not, you know, I'm not chastising. I'm teaching you something. God said to me one day, you're not going to save everybody. You know, I'm not. Maybe you might save the ones that I can't. But you always have to remember, you are not going to save everybody that God places in front of you. What does it say? Some plant, some water, and some harvest. You know, maybe you just want to plant the first seed. But see, you want to see it start growing and blossom and do everything right in front of your eyes. It doesn't happen that way. I always said, you know, I preach a word, you know, and I preach a word, and I preach a word, same word, you know. And then my people all say, you know, somebody's in town, you ought to go see them. And they go see them, they come back and say, guess what we learned tonight? Same thing I've been preaching for a year. See, I planted a seed, but it just didn't do nothing. It was laying dormant. But then they went and heard somebody else say it, somebody that wasn't familiar to them, and they watered it. See? And it started to grow. We just have to remember that Jesus didn't get everybody saved either. Amen? I don't know where I got off that tangent. Where am I at here? All right, I said, you are not standing under closed heavens. If this is not your season, then when? This is our season. This is our time. Are we going to reach out there and grab hold of it? Or are we going to let us pass us by? It's now or never. It's now or never, church. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power. The rein is in your hand." You know, God's right hand, his hand is power. His left hand is his hand of judgment. So God tells us to take our right hand of power and go out there and minister to the people in love. Okay, I said, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power. The rein is in your hand." It will happen when you push through the veil of negativity and sabotage. Amen. When God spoke it, he gave you the permission to do it. Why do you think God speaks all these wonderful words into your life? There are things he wants you to do. And he wants you to grab hold of the word that you've received. And he wants you to go forth and do it. It just wasn't a nice word. He just didn't feel like talking. I know sometimes you wish when I started, I just said, "Shut her off, Lord. I don't want to hear that." Amen? And I don't want to give it either, to tell you the truth. But it was your time to hear that. Right then, you could take that and do something with it. Amen? I'm going to use Brother Allen. He keeps saying, I don't get a word. And I was sitting there this morning, and God said to have Nancy minister to Brother Allen. And when she started, I said, "Oh, I shouldn't have told her to do that." But, you know, I just know God. And I just knew he wanted to speak to Brother Allen. So he got his word. And now he knows where he's at, right, Brother Allen? See? So come on. You know, and sometimes you come up for a word, and God isn't saying anything to you. And so I've trained these people. If he's not saying it, don't you say it. You just be quiet, because God is God. And they might not be ready for the word that God wants to get. It might be a word of chastening. They're not ready to receive that right now because they're in a low spot in their life. And so God is just quiet. Why do you think God always has to talk? I always thought God had to talk. He doesn't, you know. See, these are all things I've gone through, too. He doesn't always have to talk. I'm just saying personally to yourself, one-on-one, not through a prophet or anything. But personally, one-on-one, he does not have to talk to you if he doesn't want to. I just read recently where one prophet was saying that God hadn't talked to him for months. And he said, "God, why aren't you talking to me?" And then God spoke to him and said, "Son, I just wanted you to rest in me. I didn't. The things I have to tell you, it takes work. You're going to be doing so. You're going to be busy, but you have to rest. You had to rest before you received the word." So if he's not speaking to you, don't get all excited and think he's left you and crawl on your knees and do repentance and whatever else you do. Just know that he has you in a state of resting. Because when he does start talking, you're going to say, "God, I'm tired." Amen. So enjoy your rest. If you would raise your hands, the harvest will come. That's why the enemy keeps attacking. He keeps attacking you because you are a rainmaker and you are making haste. By the time this revival is over, you guys should be the fullest things that I've ever seen in my life of the glory of God. I'm watching you grow, and it just excites me to no end. And then God's doing different things in me too. And it's just things he's never done before. And I'm excited about that too. So see, we're all getting the touch of the rain. Amen. You know, it only takes one raindrop to stop a drought. That one raindrop hits, then there's another one. And you're saying, "Don't let it come down, Lord, or I get to the car." And before you get to the car, it comes down. You know, I'm all wet now. But when you first saw it was one raindrop, then two, then three. Amen? So in here, it takes one raindrop, just one of you, to say, "God, I want to be that rainmaker, so let me be give me the first raindrop." Amen? Let me be the one to carry the rain. Each one of you say that, you know, be selfish. I want to be the one to carry the rain. Amen? Come on. So I said, if you would raise your hands, the harvest will come. That's why the enemy keeps attacking. He keeps attacking you because you are a rainmaker. You are making haste. What do you see in your spirit? How many of you, God's been giving you visions in your spirit? He wants you to walk on that. Amen. He wants you to work with it. All Isaiah saw was a cloud as small as a man's hand. Sister Barbara also, she's getting vision after vision after vision. So is the young lady that comes with Astrid. Wonderful visions. I think it's powerful. Amen. I don't know about you, but I the visions I see are the visions I need to see to finally realize God is doing what he said he's going to do. All right? He doesn't have to give you a vision about anybody else. There's things he's personally told you that he's going to do, and so far they're not done. And the circumstances around about you saying they're never going to happen. And so when he gives you the vision of the thing being done, you know, completely done, or he lets you see what's happening to the person, you're excited. You can run with that. We'll be the Elijah's runner. We'll run with that vision, right? All Isaiah saw was a cloud as small as a man's hand. Isaiah 18:44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. So what do you hear in your spirit? First of all, we said see, and now we're saying hear. Isaiah heard the sound of an abundance of rain. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Again, what do you hear in your spirit? Somebody told me something today. I got so excited because they don't know, but that's what I'm asking God for. And she came to me and she told me that everything I've been asking God for, she came and told me was going to happen. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. She doesn't know what to pray for. Exciting, exciting, exciting. Amen. I heard what she said. Amen. It's an answer to my prayer. Okay, again, what do you hear in your spirit? Here you go, red stars. Shout of faith, praise him for what you are hearing. It could be the prophetic word you're hearing is what you needed to hear. There's something in that word that you needed to hear, and it's going to take you a little further than what you were today. Claim your season. It's now or never. Yes. I'm telling you guys, by the time this revival is over, if you don't have it, you're not going to get it, because now is the time that God is filling you to overflowing. Now is the time that God wants you to see and hear what he wants you to do. And now is the time that he wants to free you up so you can go forth and do the mighty works he's calling you forth to do. It will happen when you push through negativity and doubt. There's your red stars. Say it. You didn't convince me of that. You convinced me. Thank you. Is her last name Plaque? Mr. Plaque, God told me this morning to tell you that you are going to rise up like a mighty man of war. He's going to restore your youth, and you're going to fly like an eagle. He said, there's times you get discouraged. You can't quite believe that God, you think God's finished with you, but he said he's not finished. He's just getting started with you. Amen. You're heard. You're heard. And now I'm asking God to let you see yourself as an eagle. Amen. And then he said, and also, he wants me to say, he wants you to feel the abundance of the rain on you. And he's saying the clouds of blessing over you have been closed up, but he's opening up those clouds, and blessing after blessing after blessing is going to flow down upon you, and you are going to feel the rain. Amen. I'm telling you guys, you can feel that rain. You can walk outside and there's nothing going, but you feel rain coming on you. You might feel drops of rain. You might feel a mist. It's there. I feel it all the time anymore. I go out to put the diaper in the diaper pail and I say, is it raining? Because I feel and it's not raining, but I feel drops of rain on me. You and I sit at my computer, I feel the mist of rain. It's there. All you have to do is trust God and believe. Do you know how long I've been believing for over 10 years that this was going to happen? And it's happened. It's happened. The breakthrough is here. We've already broke through. We don't have to be believing for the breakthrough. It's here. All right, so you said, I'm a rainmaker. Rainmakers have to move. Rainmakers have to make noise. That's why you don't fit in. That's why they don't like you, because you are a rainmaker. You know, they didn't like me. Well, thank God they didn't. Are you hearing me? That means you're different. That means you're a rainmaker. That means you have power and authority upon high. That means you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you're on the run. You're taking that rain wherever you go. You're going to be flying, Barbara, somewhere. Across the sea. Phew. Take the rain with you. Up, there's the stars. Say it. Finish the rest. There you go. You're saying it. You're hearing it in your ears. You're hearing what you're saying. Amen? Come on. Now, this isn't hype. I don't believe in hype. This is what God is saying, and this is what God is doing. Stop waiting, wishing, and hoping for the rain. You make it rain. You make the miracles happen in your life. Stretch out your hand, and God will meet you. I told you many times, and I told you just today, what God said, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it for you. But we're standing there. God, when are you going to move? I'm going to move when you do. That's what he's telling you. Do you know how many times in services I have to step out in faith, believing God to move? Come on. Now it's miracle time, guys. If I'm going to run with you, you have to be a rainmaker too. Come on. Because I can't run if you're not a rainmaker. You can't run with people that are drought all the time. They have to have the signs, wonders, and miracles flowing through them. They have to have the power of God flowing through them. They have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ flowing through them. If not, they're going to stop your rain. The prophet didn't just move things outside of him. He moved things inside of him. He put his head between his knees, meaning that blocking his ears from hearing what was going on outside of him so he could hear from within. Sometimes we just have to draw alone and just hear God's voice. Amen? Come on, get away from your family, your kids, your wife, your husband, whatever, and just draw alone so you can hear the voice of the Father. All right, it starts in the spirit before it happens in your life. Always remember that. You are a preacher in your belly before you are a preacher in your life. You're a singer, a psalmist in your belly before you ever become a psalmist. You're a prophet in your belly before you ever become a prophet. You have to birth it forth. Anybody will follow you when it rains. But you need someone to follow you when what you hear on the inside you don't see on the outside. And you guys that are working with me, you've done that. You stayed when there was no rain. You stayed and just believed what I said I heard when you didn't hear it. And that's wonderful. The church has lost its runners. You guys are the runners. I'm the Elijah. I'm telling you what's going on. And so you're the runners. You're running to God. You're saying, I want it. I want it. I want it. And when I tell you, come to the altar, this is what God wants to do. You run up here to get it from God. Are you listening? Elijah is pushing for a breakthrough. Breakthrough is what you hear in your spirit, but it breaks through in your life. You are the Elijahs. You are the Elijahs of this generation. Because God said we are in the Elijah generation. So you are the Elijahs in this generation. With a baby, they call it crowning. When they see the baby crowning, they tell you to stop pushing because you have to get a breakthrough. You have to change your strategy. Is that true, Sister Nancy? No, you always have cesarean. Is that true for anybody who just had a baby? Been so long since I had one. Is that what they do? All right. God told me to tell you that you are not going to have to push as hard now. God told me to tell you that the struggle is over. Breakthrough is about to reign in your life. This isn't a shout of praise. This is a rain dance. Amen. Well, do you want to see the flaggers dance without music? Flaggers, come up here and dance. It's a rain dance. Do a rain dance for us. Come on. I didn't put red stars here, but somebody has to dance at this point. See, they can do it. Come on. It's a rain dance. Feel it in your spirit. Feel it in your spirit. Come on. Go through the audience and pour and dance in the audience. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Sit down. Your leader, sit down. She said the dance is done. Elijah, sit down. Mom, are you starting to see the breakthrough?
Yeah.
I watched you guys. You first of all, you grin. And then I saw your faces change. Wow, this is real. Amen. The Lord said the struggle is over. No more pushing. It's here. There's your red stars. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready for the rain. Lift your hands in it. See, some back there are already lifting their hands. Open your mouth in it. Open your mouth and let it rain in your mouth. Let the anointing go in your mouth. Clap your hands in it. Come on, let's clap our hands. When I was going through my drought time, God told me to watch for the thunder and the lightning. While the lightning is flashing, the thunder is rolling, you're about to get your breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Now this is a little thing I just put in here. I've seen the lightning flashing and I heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, this is what I want you to say to yourself. I'm going to push my way through from the spirit realm into the physical realm. It's going to break through in my life. It's going to start in the hand, and don't let the little hand fool you. Out of this little hand shall come an abundance of rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care how small your hand is. There's an abundance of rain in that hand. We need to stop preaching to the people we see. Preach to the people in your spirit. Get ready for the people that are coming. Stop preaching to the people who have called you. Preach to the people who have not called you. You are called to be a major player. You know, people come in here and I said, I've seen you. You've been here before. No, I haven't. I said, yeah, yeah. I know you. I've seen you. Where do you work? But then I realized I see them in the spirit. Then they come into the church. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? So what did I say? We need to stop preaching to people we see and preach to people in your spirit. Because when God shows your people in your spirit, you're going to be seeing them in your life. Amen. Your whole system is going to have to change. These systems were built around your drought, not around your destiny. You have to prep for what has not happened yet and do it quickly. Let's read that again. Your whole system is going to have to change. These systems were built around your drought, not around your destiny. You have to prep for what has not happened yet and do it quickly. I think it's neat that we're having so much rain and even snow during this revival. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of rainmakers. If you hear it in your spirit, you have permission to push it into your life. You hear that? If you hear it in your spirit, you have permission to push it into your life. You go to God and say, God, I heard it. You spoke it. Now I want it to happen. But it's a breakthrough. Out of a little thing shall come an abundance of rain. Stop overlooking what you have because it looks small. God will always use small things to meet big needs. He used 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread to feed all those people. You know, when I wrote this here, if you hear it in your spirit, you have permission to push it into your life, but it's a breakthrough. I thought about one time Brother Brett's, the Lord spoke something to him over one of his children, and it wasn't good. But he thought about it, and he went before the Lord in with his compassion, his love, and he said, God, please don't let this happen. Please, God, do not let this happen in their life. And because he did that, and you know, he went on and prayed some other things, because he did that, he's watching that person turn around. Instead of him sitting there thinking, well, they deserve it, you know, they didn't listen, they could go on down that bad road and get messed up, I don't care. He didn't do that. Compassion rose up within him. And he said, God, please, please don't let them go down that road. How many of us, if we'd have prayed like that over a friend, our children, a loved one, they wouldn't have had to go down that road. There's many times I've stayed the hand of God from judgment on my family because I didn't want them to go through what he said they were going to go through. And then one day recently he said, all the praying in the world is not going to stop me now. I have to do what I have to do. But I stayed his hand for years and years and years, hoping and praying, and in praying for them that they would change. So why are we so quick to want somebody to be chastised by God to the point of maybe going to hell? Why can't we overlook the pain they gave us and ask God to please stay his hand of judgment until he gets them turned around and they can be his? That's what a rainmaker does, right? A rainmaker doesn't call down fire on the people. A rainmaker doesn't call down judgment. A rainmaker calls down the gifts of healing. And how many people do we know that need healing in their soul? Everybody you meet, including you. Amen. All right, a stubborn prophet stuck his hand into the supernatural and brought it into the natural. Every pastor needs people that can make it rain. Leaders, you have to have people in your camp that can make it rain so that when the devil is against you, they can deliver. I went through a spell where I didn't even get up here and preach. I kept the doors open. And the people around me loved me enough that they stayed with me and they did the ministering while I came through my dry spell. Amen. You have to have people with you that can deliver. You cannot produce glory in confusion. The rain is coming to you. The rain has already come to the lighthouse. It's already here. The floodgates of heaven are about to open up. The floodgates of heaven have opened over us. Oh, there's your stars. Open up your mouth and give God some praise right now. Thank you. Now I have down here, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. You just did that. And it can freely rain in everybody's life. Claim your season this evening. It's now or ever, never. It will happen when you push through negativity and doubt. Don't think, oh, God's never going to do it. No, that's negativity and doubt. Don't do that. I'm always going to be poor, have no money, my wallet. Don't do that. Our God is a God of more than enough. And he's promised us that our coffers will overflow, right? And so why do we sit around and say we're never going to have? We're never going to have. We don't say that. We have more than enough. Red stars. Shout, the drought is over. Now you have to shout it. See, some people just close their eyes and letting you shout. Everybody has to shout. If you want, I mean, the ones that shout it are going to be the rainmakers. Now, if you want to be the rainmaker, you have to shout it out, the drought is over in your life. That's what you're saying.
Let's declare it.
All right, go ahead. Declare it. Now, did you really believe that?
Yes.
God said, if you did, come up, because he's going to anoint you tonight to be a true rainmaker. And you're going to find signs, wonders, and miracles following you wherever you go. And God said, there's no longer going to be a glitch in your computer. Are you hearing me? Because wherever you go, you're going to make rain. You're going to see miracles after miracles after miracles. But there goes Barbara. There goes Grace. There goes Grace. Come on. Come quickly while the anointing's flowing. Come on. Come on. There's not cement under this carpet. It's hardboard. Come on. What are you up here for? To be a rainmaker, right? To get the anointing to be a rainmaker. You're always not going to be stuck inside of four walls. There's times God will put you in a road. There's seasons where you're going to go out in the road and you have to carry the rain with you. You have to carry that anointing with you to destroy the enemy's camp. Come on, just breathe in that air that's blown with the rain. You know how a wind comes and brings fresh air and brings a rain? Breathe that in tonight. Breathe it in tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's raining, it's raining, it's raining, it's raining. God's telling me to tell you it's raining, it's raining. Feel the mist. Feel the mist. God said, feel the overflow of the River Jordan. I think we have enough space now, guys. There's space up here. Come on. You have to turn off your brain, which isn't any good for you anyhow, no matter what you say. And get your spirit man up there, right? Thank you, Jesus. Brett, go back there and minister that lady, will you, please? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I saw you tonight. You want the rain. You want to be a rainmaker. Now receive that anointing right now to be a rainmaker.